You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
March the 14th, 2022, Russian airstrikes on a military training area in Ukraine, killing at least 35, 100 plus hospitalized. These are 30 missiles fired from warplanes over the Black Sea. They hit that military base, and again, this is just 12 miles from the Polish border. 12 miles. That's dangerously close to hitting Poland, obviously. One little mistake like that. In the meantime, we got one NATO country calling for a measure the U.S. lawmakers fear will, in fact, spark World War III, Estonia. Estonia is the first NATO member nation to call for a no-fly zone in Ukraine. President Biden and NATO have ruled it out, saying it would show that the U.S. and NATO in direct confrontation with Russia would expand the conflict. We could quickly escalate to World War III. But Estonia says, we agree with the Ukrainian president. He should have a no-fly zone. Whether or not we have one, whether it be effective, will be another issue. A lot of the shelling and bombing and so forth that's happening in Ukraine is coming from artillery and tanks and missiles, not necessarily airplanes over Ukraine. But this attack this close to Poland, which is a NATO nation, the fog of war is just enough to cause some escalation immediately. Then we have India announcing today that it is considering an offer from Russia to buy its crude oil at discounted prices. I hope to hell they really rethink that. In the meantime, Russia could be days from default, the Russian economy defaulting on major loans all around the world. They had the money, but they don't have access to it now because of restrictions and sanctions we put in place. And I still have a hard time. Now we are suddenly deciding to also sanction and add to the list diamonds, caviar, Russian vodka. Why are we doing this piecemeal? Why do you not do everything now? This is no longer a possible invasion, a possible incursion. People are dying. And Biden is making it step by step. Well, we're going to put this screw on and tighten it. Slam the whole thing shut. And in fact, there's a Lieutenant General Ben Hodges who appeared on Fox earlier, and he says he believes, based on his knowledge, he said, I look at logistics and what's happening. He said, I think the Russians right now are 10 days from running out of ammunition. So if that happens, if they're getting that close, what is Russia going to do? There's been fear about chemical weapons. And, of course, each side wants to blame the other. We'll be talking about that more in the next segment and give you some reports direct from the front line of some of the latest events. And also, before we wrap up, we're going to go back to the story over the week, last week, about how Joy Reid of MSNBC said Ukraine's only getting a lot of coverage because it involves white people. She wants to make it racist. Well, there's a response I want to share with you coming up later this hour. Obama on Twitter announcing he tested positive for COVID. Yep, he's had vaccines and boosted. Still gets COVID. Then there's this story. Let me go back to Ukraine. a pregnant woman being carried on a stretcher in the Ukrainian city of Mariupol. She was severely injured. And she was basically telling the men carrying the stretcher, just kill me now. Kill me now. They got her to the hospital. Anti-shock measures taken. A C-section. They got the child out. No chance of life for the child. And the mother passed away 30 minutes later. The only plus thing is her husband and father came to retrieve both bodies so they're not dumped into one of the many mass graves. For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief. And the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
On day 18, the crisis in Ukraine is intensifying. Overnight, Russian forces fired missiles for the first time into Lviv, a city in western Ukraine dangerously close to the Polish border. The relentless bombing, shelling, missile attacks and atrocities in other key regions of Ukraine have increased. And there are serious concerns in the intelligence community about Vladimir Putin introducing chemical weapons into Russia's blitz on the devastated country of 44 million citizens.
I'm not going to speak about the intelligence, but Russia would pay a severe price.
Though, of course, the last words coming from President Biden does not want to talk about the possible chemical weapons, but if they do, they're going to pay a severe price. I think the Putin administration is as confused at what the Biden administration is trying to do as we are. And we're all not sure what Putin really wants to do either, are we? The NATO Secretary General said the other day that the whole base issue for Putin claiming that I have reason to go into Ukraine is because it's going to become a NATO member, and once that happens, we'll have democracy, a NATO country, right on our border, not going to allow it. Well, you do understand. I know you do. If he takes Ukraine anyway, Poland is on the border of Ukraine, so they're going to be a NATO nation adjacent to Russian territory anyway, if they end up taking Ukraine. Zelensky, over the weekend, was trying to schedule talks with Putin, maybe through Israel. Israeli Prime Minister Bennett was trying to assist. Zelensky seemed to be somewhat optimistic, so did Bennett. But then today, a discussion between Putin and the Israeli Prime Minister. We're not going to. Or words to that effect. An hour and a half basically came down to no. Zippo, zero, nyah. and yet the killing continues. And to that extent, this is also beginning to raise more concerns about Biden and what he is or is not doing. And in fact, is Biden escalating because he's not being strong enough in some areas? Part of that involves the so-called no-fly zone. Now, Biden has been slammed for too much talk, not enough action. So a growing and bipartisan group in Congress is now pushing Biden to go ahead and facilitate the transfer of Poland's MiG-29 fighter jets to Ukraine, and then we will send U.S. fighters into Poland to help back up what they send. This is from a bipartisan group in Congress, a bipartisan group. They're known as the Problem Solvers Caucus. And the statement said that we, the 58 members of the Problem Solvers Caucus, urge U.S. commitment to the sovereignty of Ukraine, the freedom of the Ukrainian people, in the face of Russia's ongoing invasion. We strongly believe the U.S. must provide additional defense material to Ukrainians protecting their nation. And called on Biden to help give Ukrainians Stinger missiles, drones, and, of course, help Poland with those jets and then back up Poland. Now, the response from the White House is all this could be escalation. Putin will see it as escalation. We have already sent Stingers and other such weapons, drones, into Ukraine prior to the fighting starting. I don't know if we're still trying to get them in there or if we've stopped. But I also know that while they were building up the troops in Belarus, that was the time to ship everything in then, and then we're out of there before the fighting starts, leaving that equipment for them. Kind of like what we did in Afghanistan when we abandoned a bunch of equipment and now it's in the hands of the Taliban. Only this would be intentional and let Ukrainians have it for their self-protection. The Ukraine government has a history of being corrupt, extremely so. Zelensky, a former comedian, had run on the premise that elect me and we'll stop the corruption. Now, I don't know if all the corruption has ended, I doubt it, in Ukraine prior to the Russian invasion and are now. But I do see that Zelensky is still in Ukraine. He's not fled the country, so he's still there with his people. You have to appreciate that. But the attacks continue. And while the attacks continue and the talks continue, blood continues to flow. There's a report that was filed by David Remnick with MSNBC. Please listen.
The damage that's been done, the fear that's been struck into the Ukrainians is all toward one goal. To bring a nation of 40-odd million people to its knees, to rob it of its independence, right, to rob it of its sovereignty, and to put it under the Russian wing. That's what this is all about. And that Putin cannot be dealt with. We can't psychoanalyze him. We have to hope that the pressure that's being put on him, which is immense economically and politically, and that pressures within him, on him within the country, particularly in the security apparatuses, start to exert an influence that makes him decide that either this is a horrible catastrophe and he has to get out of it, or he's overthrown. That's it.
He's either going to say, I'm going to get out, or the Russian people take matters in their own hands, and they throw him out of office, probably with a bullet to the back of the head. I have no doubt talks like that are going on inside very hushed, closed, very, very tight-knit circles, because no one wants to be pointed out as, are you plotting to overthrow Putin? But I'm sure there are some that are looking at that. the same as we saw during World War II and trying to get rid of Hitler. Members of his own staff, generals and civilians, looking for a way to, if we can get rid of Hitler, we can stop all of this and save thousands and thousands of lives on both sides. But as your David Remnick report, Putin wants those 40 million Ukrainians under his foot or destroyed. And among the pressures that are being applied is that half of the country's foreign reserves, something like $315 billion, have been frozen by Western sanctions. Now, that's good. But again, as I say, we started too late and we did it incrementally. And so as a result, Moscow is going to try to repay creditors from countries that are unfriendly in rubles until the sanctions are lifted. And the rubles are worth less than a penny in some cases now. The credit ratings agencies would consider Russia to be in default if Moscow misses payments or repays debt issued in dollars and euros with the ruble, which is worth nothing. That could happen as early as 2 days from now. Moscow needs to hand over $117 million in interest payments, according to J.P. Morgan Chase. I wouldn't expect to be paid if I were J.P. Morgan Chase. Chase and the other companies have all pulled out of Russia, and rightly so. This weekend, President Biden was in Pennsylvania as the Democrats gathered to plot their strategy to hold on to the House. All the House Democrats were there. Democrat caucus leader Maloney, Patrick Maloney. Isn't that a great name? Sean Maloney. I think it's Sean or Patrick. Now I'm drawing a blank. I'll have to find him. Patrick Maloney. Patrick Maloney. Good Irish name. Perfect for St. Patrick's Day coming up. He told the audience, he said, the problem is us. He said, it's not the voters, it's us. He's admitting that we're seen as too divisive. Yep. Too focused on cultural issues. Yep. And that we're too preachy. Yep. The opponents think we know better than parents do when it comes to their kids. Yep. We think all of that. Yeah. And that's exactly why 25 Democrats said, I'm not going to bother running. And those who are going to run, they want to distance themselves from Biden. Because of everything that's happened on the Biden watch. And now we have this going on, and are we doing what we need to be doing? Biden addressed the crowd. He brought up Ukraine. First of all, in one part, he said, I'm tired of being blamed for the oil prices. If not me, it's Putin. And anybody wants to set up a no-fly border and zone of that nature and enforce it? Well, here's his remark on that point.
The idea that we're going to send in offensive equipment and have planes and tanks and trains going in with American pilots and American crews, just understand, and don't kid yourself, no matter what you all say, that's called World War III.
I won't argue with this point that it could lead to that and be that, but we're not talking about sending U.S. fighter planes with U.S. pilots. We're not even sending U.S. planes. Poland was going to send the MiGs. That's what the problem caucus solvers were saying. Just go ahead and transfer this deal and let Poland send the MiGs and we'll get Poland planes. So far, the administration not budging. And then there is the specter and the fear of chemical weapons. Already we have both Russia and Ukraine pointing fingers at each other that Ukraine has some biolabs. They might use them against Russian troops, and or Russia has them, and they're going to use them against Ukraine, and or have. For a view on that, here's a member of the Foreign Relations Council, and he says, if you're going to look at it in its entirety, you need to recognize a fear. Richard Haass.
I don't like saying this. You know, there are other times where people have used chemical weapons and gotten away with it, obviously, in Syria. And I think what's important here is that we strengthen the norm that if we can't stop the Russians from using it, Russia itself has to pay an enormous price for that. The Russian leadership has to, because we not only want to stop them from using it again, but we do not want the idea to gain momentum in the world that you can use these weapons of mass destruction with impunity. So whatever it is we do, it's got to be severe in terms of exacting a price.
And what do you think Biden would do in a severe reaction? I don't think Putin worries about it one bit. And then we've got this story over the weekend. The U.S. appears to be insisting, hey, we were not the target of those Iranian missiles. In Iraq, we were not the target. And Iran claims, well, we were targeting Israeli strategic centers in the northern city of Erbil, but the missiles fell extremely close to a U.S. consulate under construction. The Israeli Prime Minister's office refusing to comment on what the Iranians are claiming, but this is the first Iranian attack so close to U.S. interests since Iran hit the air base in western Iraq back in January 2020 for us killing Commander Soleimani. But the State Department says, well, we were not the intended target. All I know is that Iran feels bold enough to go ahead and start firing its missiles. And North Korea continues to test fire its missiles. And China's on the sideline watching and waiting to see. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll pick up action inside Ukraine. Stand by.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA. More than 30 cruise missiles struck that base less than 20 miles from the Polish border. It's a military base that's been used by the U.S. and NATO partners for training exercises, drawing the West and U.S. allies closer to the fight.
The overnight aerial assault in Lviv is the latest attack in a Russian offensive that has widened and intensified by the hour. Russian tanks rumble down the street in the besieged port city of Mariupol. There's been no let-up in Russia's relentless bombardment. With the Russian advance now bearing down, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky rallied residents to defend the capital in an overnight address. Work with the lights out at night.
On this building, look.
Highest floor, a sniper. While we were there, doctors were saving the life of a first responder torn apart by shrapnel even while trying to rescue the wounded. With the Russian advance now bearing down, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky rallied residents to defend the capital in an overnight address. If they kill all of us, then they will enter Kyiv, he said. If this is the goal, then let them enter, but they will not find friends among us. It is already a reality in the suburb of Bukha, where they're burying the dead in mass graves, a terrifying prelude of what may be to come.
That's a report by Charlie Daggett for CBS. And an American journalist was killed by one of those missiles or shellings. It's a dangerous area, obviously, for civilians, and reporters are still there. And I want to take a moment to say something about that point, because I've had often folks tell me, so when I was a news anchor, so glad you're doing that you know, you're brave enough to do it. I said, listen, the brave ones are the ones who live and are working in countries where if they disagree with you, they kill you, your family, your pets, your relatives, anyone you might have talked with recently. And that's not even a war zone. That's if you're like dealing with drug cartels or thugs inside Moscow, whatever. And then you have to be concerned about this. Climate envoy John Kerry said the other day, all the crises between Russia and Ukraine make me concerned about issues such as the principles of international law and respect for borders. Okay. And then he said, I am concerned in terms of the climate efforts that a war is the last thing you need with respect to a united effort to deal with climate change. People are dying and you still want to talk climate change. And then on top of that, a piece in The Atlantic, Sunday, the headline reading, on top of everything else, nuclear war is a climate problem. The article said a nuclear war could kill tens of millions of people and would also prove disastrous for climate change. The article argued if you're worried about rapid catastrophic changes to the planet's climate, then you must be worried about nuclear war. Critics obviously slamming all this as silly, questioning their priorities, and I say this is just more proof of how out of touch some of these people are. People are dying right now in a war, and you want to tell me about, we're concerned about climate change after a nuclear war? And then, of course, last week, Joy Reid of MSNBC said the coverage of the Ukrainian war is only happening because it's white people involved. I want you to hear from Pastor Corey Brooks of Chicago when we continue, because those remarks by Joy Reid incensed him, and rightly so. Stand by. Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Freedom, I believe, is everything. Nothing else matters. That's why it troubles me tremendously when people like Joy Reid reduce the freedom struggle of the Ukrainians down to the lowest of human values, race. People like Joy Reid seem incapable of seeing anything beyond the racial lens. It's all that she has. Race seems to be her power.
Those are the words of Pastor Corey Brooks, Corey B. Brooks, founder, senior pastor of the New Beginnings Church of Chicago, founder, CEO of Project Hood, H-O-O-D, Communities Development Corporation. For the past 100 nights, he has been on a rooftop in that hood, that area where they're trying to raise money to build facilities to encourage kids to get off the streets and get involved in something else and jobs and things of this nature. And to its credit, Fox News has given him a lot of airtime, which he acknowledged in another part, which I did not include. They have allowed him to do nightly presentations on what he's doing there. And he's had everything from discussing with his son the hardships of growing up in Chicago, South Chicago in particular, to others, to moms who have had no help whatsoever, but they made it on their own. And just 4 hours ago, he put out on Twitter, day 114. In other words, he's still there on that rooftop, living in a tent. It's been cold and windy in Chicago. The weather is gradually going to start improving, but you get up on a rooftop for that many days. He said, today I'm reaching out to 20 people with influence to come help me by spending one night on the roof to raise awareness about the violence And again, to help me raise funds to build the Opportunity Center. He says, pray me off the roof. Get me off the roof. Get me off the roof. All of those. Hashtag. Trying to raise money. He sent a tweet yesterday at 3:45 in the morning and said, day 113, I can't sleep, so I'm going to spend some time worshiping and praying. That is something we all need to be doing. You got a good life? Good. You've been blessed. You're in America. You were born here. You got the winning ticket, the golden ticket that so many would love to have. You're blessed and beyond blessed. If you're not giving back in some way, in some way to help someone or a group, then you're not living up to God's fulfillment or promise for you. Pastor Corey Brooks, he said, I need God so bad right now. Not only am I praying for me, but I'm praying for everyone who really needs a move of God to happen to them. And that's why he's so incensed over Joy Reid's remarks the other day, trying to take the Ukrainian war, people dying, and because it's getting news coverage, she dared make a remark that you think, how can you be, one, that callous, two, that stupid, and three, there's your problem with all of the wokeness, why you've got people turning away from your Democrat Party because of people like you, and you're the ones who want to pull Biden farther left. He's not progressive enough for you, and he's too progressive for most of us, but you continue to push and pull, and you want to center racism into the Ukraine war. I want you to hear from her again. This is what she said, March 9.
The coverage of Ukraine has revealed a pretty radical disparity in how human Ukrainians look and feel to Western media compared to their browner and blacker counterparts. Okay, let's face it. The world is paying attention because this is happening in Europe. If this was happening anywhere else, would we see the same outpouring of support and compassion? Well, we don't need to ask ourselves if the international response would be the same if Russia unleashed their horror on a country that wasn't white and largely Christian.
If Russia were invading any sovereign nation, yes, we would, Joy Reid. And we have not as much nowadays, I will agree, because international press coverage has been cut back by major networks, covered various conflicts in the Congo, often black against black. So where's your argument there on racism? You can't have it both ways. You really can't. In fact, let me share a couple of pieces here for you. This is from Michael Luciano from Mediaite, I think it is. And he was challenging her on those points. He said, the coverage of Ukraine has revealed a pretty radical disparity in how human, he's quoting Joy Reid at that point. He said, here he goes on to say, some of this is fair. U.S. media does not focus very much on, say, the war in Ethiopia or the Somali Civil War. And that's true. That's just what I just told you. There are times that, you know, it happens. It's going on constantly. We're not involved. And, yeah, there are nations taking over other nations, but it's just not a Russian. Oh, well, let me put it this way. It is not a nuclear superpower. That does not mean it's right. And there's still women and children genocide happening between tribal unities inside some of these countries, and they are all black. So where's your race issue there? And she's saying we're not covering it because it is all black? Is that? No, no. The reason we're covering this is it's Russia going into Ukraine. Yes, they're all considered, quote, white. So what are you going to say then when it gets China going after Taiwan? And we have to deal with that. But again, Michael Luciano points out in his piece, he said, I'm watching a search of all these transcripts in a database indicating that prior to Monday, Reid had not mentioned the war in Yemen since at least September of last year. But it's been mentioned in recent weeks on other MSNBC shows. Said, we reached out to ask why she hasn't made any comments on Yemen. No response. He said, this isn't to say that Reid should run more international stories. After all, it's up to her to decide what she wants to talk about. But what she says, unless this soul-searching results in some sort of shift in her own show's coverage going forward, what's the point of the critique? Well, again, Pastor Brooks.
Does anyone seriously think that Joy Reid covered the Yemen war in the past? I mean, it's been going on for years, and if Joy Reid has covered it, then where is the coverage? I haven't seen it, if any. I bet she didn't cover it any serious way because she couldn't make it about race, just like so many others. Race is her power, her substance. Race is a reductive force that bypasses human complexities for the overly simplistic values that we project onto skin colors. In asking us to ignore human complexities, race makes us liars out of us. And by imposing her views of race onto the Ukrainian-Russian war, Joy Reid attempted to make the war about herself, her views of race.
Pastor Corey Brooks. And he's absolutely on point. New York Post, an opinion piece written by Maureen Callahan. Just when you think the far left can't get any more far out, along comes their hot take on Ukraine. Our reaction and all media coverage is racist. Yes, even Vladimir Putin's genocidal invasion of a peaceful neighbor and the evolving threat of World War III must be viewed through America's racist past. How perverse, how narcissistic, but this kind of virtual signaling is always in the service of self-regard. And again, those are comments in the New York Post from Maureen Callahan. And she adds, Reid's subtext is, look at me. Look how much more evolved I am on these matters than you. Appreciate me. Marvel at my ability to sniff out racial animus, especially where none exist. That pretty much echoes what Pastor Brooks said, isn't it? Oh, I'm not done with this subject. I'm not done because this is the kind of thing that divides us when we're looking for a chance to unite. And people like Joy Reid and the progressive left want to make it all about skin color. And I'm sorry, we're going to have to circle back. I thought I was done with them, but once more to Jussie Smollett. Stand by. Rottler Pest Solutions is one of the top pest control companies in the nation, and yet still family-owned for three generations, 65 years. Rottler customers still get personal, professional, safe service. I personally encourage you to call. Get a free quote. Schedule same day, next day, or a Saturday. 877-ROTTLER. 877-ROTTLER. Or go to rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So, as you know, the other day, Jussie Smollett was sentenced to 120 days in jail and plus a fine and everything else. And he went out with a fist raised, yelling, I'm not suicidal, I'm not suicidal. And I said, I don't know if he's trying to say if something happens to me, it's Jeffrey Epstein case. Jeffrey Epstein did not hang himself. You do know that, don't you? I don't want to go down that road anymore. But here's what he believes he was sentenced to jail The guy that made up this story that somebody tried to hang him, two men wearing MAGA hats and saying this is MAGA country, put a noose around his neck because he was out in the middle of Chicago on a dark winter night trying to go buy a sandwich, and they were threatening to hang him and using racial slurs against him. And he kept the noose around his neck when police were called to the hotel room. He still had his sandwich and the noose around his neck because, after all, you got to have evidence that they tried to hang you, right? That was his evidence. The police chief quickly kind of dispelled the story and said it's not real. And then they started looking at going after him on some perjury charges. And the DA said, no, no, back off, because they had gotten a call from somebody related to the Obamas, maybe Michelle Obama directly. I don't really care. It's just this whole internet of how they wrap around each other to protect when it should be called out, exposed, chastised, and destroyed. But because they didn't, and then when they decided, again, we are going to move forward, and then he is convicted, and the judge calls him out for constantly lying on the stand. He said, you never had to take the stand. You got on there and you perjured yourself repeatedly. He said, you're just, it's all about you. This is the same thing that Joy Reid in this article the other day, and you heard Pastor Brooks in the last segment saying, along with the other articles I was sharing with you, it's all ego and it's all pushing. Skin color is everything. So Jussie Smollett says, the reason I got sentenced to jail is because I'm black. I'm black. And more evidence of systemic racism. I don't care what your color is. If you commit the crime, you should do the time. Are there chances for probation, parole? Sure. But if that's the way you're going to look at it, I met a young man last night. His dad is already with a local police department in the St. Louis area. And his son, I got introduced to his son, who's now going to police academy. I said, well, I know you're going because your dad's already on the force, but I mean, thank you. Thank you and your father and others like you who stand in the trenches and in the gap between us and the thugs. We don't appreciate our law enforcement. When we do try and enforce the laws, we're told, oh, that's racism. Then you got Joy Reid saying the coverage of the Ukraine-Russian war is racism. And that's the only reason it's being covered. But as, again, Pastor Brooks said, I haven't seen Joy Reid talk about Yemen. And, of course, how many wars has she reported on inside the Congo where it's black against black tribal wars? But this is the way the progressives are, isn't it? Let me share one other thing here with you. Democrat Congresswoman Malinsky, Democrat, New Jersey, in a very vulnerable position coming up for re-election here in November. So he went on a tirade. The New Jersey Democrat was upset because parents are trying to get some books banned from the library of their school. One is called Lawn Boy. One is Gender Queer. They're all known to have graphic depictions of sexual acts in both books and depictions of sexual acts between adult men and children. So the parents don't want it in their schools. Well, Democrat Malinsky says they don't care about this. This is all made-up cultural BS, and it's a fringe movement. He said the real problems we're having in school are gun violence and the climate crisis. He says it's just a fringe movement trying to divide the country over cultural BS like these books. He said the parents want to ban it because they want power, not because they care about us. Oh, as if you do, you care about us? Congressman Malinsky, you care about us? You should take note. I don't know if you attended, but let me share it with you. At this last weekend's meeting of the House Democrats retreat, I assume you would have been there, sir, when your own party leader of the head of the Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee said, the problem is not the voters. The problem is us. That's right. Even Democrats say that's not the party I'm a member of anymore. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.